beneath that cloudless dome. All you know is in that land where saints will never die. We're going to sing. Sing hallelujah by and by. Oh, what joy when we get home. You know we're going to rest beneath that cloudless dome. All you know is in that land where saints will never die. We're going to sing. Sing hallelujah by and by.
Amen. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. What a great day our great God has made, that we might be able to assemble ourselves one with another and say thank you for a few minutes for all that he's done last week. In fact, you got more to thank God for just from last week than you could ever issue up enough praises for. So I'm appreciative for you having come into this house to magnify the Lord and to worship him. I certainly stand before you this morning as a debtor to so many, to Brother Gary, for the invitation to be here and to assemble with you and worship with you this morning, for the elders of this great congregation who lead this flock, and for so many of you, my friends and family, that I so dearly love. I'm just thankful to be in your presence. And then to be assembled with the great Fifth Ward Church is an honor within itself. To be able to stand in your midst once again by the grace of God and be able just for God to allow me to read his word is a privilege. Amen. Just to know that that I was designed and made by him is an awesome thing. And so for God to let me even stand in his presence is more than I even deserve this morning. And I'm thankful for you for assembling with me that we might take a minute. You know, life gets busy, and you have a lot of things on your plate, and you're thinking about, I need to be here and I need to be there. But what greater thing do any of us need more than to stop and say, Lord, thank you. Amen. Thank you because you woke me up Monday through Friday and Saturday, and you carried me, and you kept cars on their side of the road, and you put a little food on my table, and you gave me a little change in my pocket, and you gave me a little strength in my body. And Lord, I'm not all of that yet, but I still want to say thank you. Thank you for such as I am, and thank you that you aren't through with me yet. Because you keep on putting a little change in my pocket, and you keep on putting a little hip in my get along. And Lord, I just stopped to say thank you this morning. So it's important for us to stop during the week and say thank you with all of our heart to God, because God is a good God. So I'm just indebted to him and to you for the opportunity to be here with you this morning. My wife is here with me. There she is right there. Amen. She's ridden with me a long time. I hope she'll keep on riding. Amen. Amen. I try and do her right, and so hopefully she'll keep riding in the car with me. Amen. Glad to be with my favorite brother-in-law. Where are your brother-in-law? Amen. Glad to be with my favorite brother-in-law and my big sister. Always an honor to be with the Barnetts and to be with you and be in the presence of God. Glad to have those who might be joining in with us on the television station, and as this is streamed out into the nation, and we're glad to have all of you who have joined us this morning to praise God, to learn about God, to know of his will for our lives. And so without further ado, I want you to join with me in Hebrews chapter 11. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 11. Yeah. I simply want to look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7. And I think it will suffice with enough substance for us to linger on a little while this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, the verse is number 7, reading from the King James Version of the Bible. If you're there with me, say amen. Amen. I know you get used to looking at it on the screen, but sometimes you ought to bring your own word. That way you can't write on the screen, but you can write in your own Bible. Amen. You got your cell phone and you're able to take notes on it, and you whip it out and your iPad, and you come along with me and mark some things and look at and reason together, thus saith the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. You there with me? Say amen if you can. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 7, the Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. The subject this morning is Noah, a weatherman for the Lord. Noah, a weatherman for the Lord. The weather has always and shall forever affect the lives of every individual. We put on or we take off according to the weather. We plan and we also plant according to the weather. We stay or we even play according to the weather. Because the weather is such an important factor in what we do and when we do it, we try our best to forecast it, for in spite of all else, we still can't fix it. The weather has always been important to the citizenry of this country, especially during the 17th and 18th century. So important was the weather that President Ulysses S. Grant, he signed a joint resolution of Congress on February the 9th, 1870, to establish the National Weather Service. The resolution required that the Secretary of War to provide for meteorological observations at the military stations and in the interior of the continent and at other points in the United States territories, and for giving notice on the northern horizon, on the seacoast by magnetic telegraph and marine signals of the approach of storms as they were coming across our territory. To say it simple, the National Weather Service was set up to watch and warn us in regarding the weather, and especially where we knew in one way or another that a storm was coming. With the advancement of technology, we can now not only detect the probability of a storm, but also the power it will carry. And so knowing these things have led us to new catchphrases and new words that we should be aware of as we understand about storms. For while observing the weather patterns and storms in particular, there are at least two levels of communications that will be released from the National Weather Service to us when storms are coming. The first level is a watch. A watch indicates that a particular hazard it is possible. It suggests to us that conditions are more favorable than usual for a storm experience, and a watch is recommended for our planning, for our preparation, and an increased awareness about listening in for more information. And as we think about the watch, it reminds us that we are to think about what you're going to do if a storm does come. In Acts chapter 27, the Apostle Paul issued a weather watch before heading for Rome. The ship was behind schedule because the winds had been blowing tremendously against them as they were, and the sailing was very slow. And once they reached a place called Safe Harbors, Paul issued a watch in Acts chapter 27 and verse number 10. And he told them that based upon conditions that they were going going to have a late arrival, and they needed to stay put, because if they did not get going, they were going to run into trouble. And so the ship and even the things in the ship were going to be lost. And so Paul issues a watch. The second level of communication from the National Weather Service. Hold on with me here. I've got a point after a while. The second level of communication from the National Weather Service is called a warning. It is here that the local affiliates in Houston come on and indicate a weather hazard is imminent or has already been reported. A warning indicates the need for you to take some action this time. A warning indicates that life and property are in danger. A warning indicates that while you did not pay attention the last time, this time you better ask somebody, because a warning is not the same as a watch. The weather is so important that not only did man set up a weather station, but God employed a weatherman to tell people that it's going to rain. And if God said it, you can be assured that it's going to rain. Maybe it will not rain today. Maybe it will not rain tomorrow. But one thing you can bank on, if God said it, it's going to rain. In fact, I can hear a little dripping and dropping of rain in some of your personal lives right now. Your rain may be the falling down with the sound of some financial struggles. Your rain may fall down with the loss of a loved one. Your rain may fall down with the acidic drops of relationships gone bad. Your rain may be falling with the sound of children that you keep on talking to, but they keep on not listening. Even now, I can hear somebody saying, "Can you stop the rain?" Because into each life a little rain will fall, but one day it's going to come more than a rain. It's going to come a storm. Noah of the Old Testament was a meteorologist for the Lord. He was a man who had dedicated his life to the National Weather Service of heaven and to the warning of the local affiliates of this world. He was a man who took God at his word and believed him with all of his heart. And for some 120 years, Noah came on the weather channel day in and day out with the same forecast from God. It simply was, it's going to rain. God had seen the people of Noah's day. He had seen them just like he sees us in our day. He had seen brothers killing brothers. He had seen people disregarding family values. He had seen people bringing anything they wanted to worship and trying to make it right with God. God had even seen the people, and historians tell me that there were probably somewhere around 3 billion people upon the face of the earth at that time, and God saw every one of them. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 through 8 tells me that the Lord saw human beings on earth. They were very wicked. He saw their nature. The Lord was very sorry even that he had made human beings upon the earth. His heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I'm going to destroy these human beings on the earth. I'm going to destroy every animal upon the face of the earth. I'm going to destroy every creeping and crawling things. I will destroy the birds of the air. This is because I'm sorry. I'm just sorry I even made these human beings. But having found favor with the Lord, amen. Isn't it good to find favor with the Lord? Amen. Noah began and became the first weatherman for God. He did not predict the weather. He just preached the promise. It was not his forecast. It was the Lord's forecast. And the Lord said, it's going to rain. This was hard to believe for back then, because the earth had always been watered by dews and mist from below. And since it had not rained before, it was hard for the imagination to be able to understand what God was saying he was going to do. And since it had not done that before, I imagine that the people had never seen a gray cloud. I imagine they had never heard the thunder roar, nor even seen the lightning flash across the bosom of the sky. But just because you and I have never seen God, something done, does not mean that God still can't do what God says he's gonna do. Ask Peter, and he will tell you in Luke chapter 5 that he was out fishing one night. He had cast his net over and over again, and he had gone back home discouraged and disgusted because he was a professional fisherman and he had never seen fishing so bad. He probably always at least caught one or had a story about one that got away, but this time his net was empty. He went to shore and was disgusted, and he met the Lord. The Lord says to Peter, he says, take your boat and let's cast out for a drought. We're going to catch some fish. And the Bible says that Jesus tells him, throw your net over on the other side. He had fished all night and had caught nothing. But Peter says, nevertheless, Lord, at thy will, I'm going to do what you asked me to do. And Peter threw out his net, and he caught more fish than his boat could hold. And he had to help share with his neighbor. Just because you have never seen something done, if God said he's going to do it, you just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Ask the centurion of Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 5, who had a servant whom he loved that was very sick at home. He was so worried about him that he went looking for Jesus to heal the guy. And he finally caught up with the master in Capernaum and said, Lord, I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house, master. But if you'll just speak the word, my servant shall be healed. I haven't seen many people who can just say, be healed and you be healed. But I've never seen it for myself, but if God says he can do it, there was power and wonder working power in the word of the Lord when we will believe and trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. So when God says no matter how far-fetched it may sound, we need to know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And if God said it was going to rain, then put up your umbrella. Because it's going to rain. Whenever men continue to walk away from the presence of the Lord, it's going to rain. Whenever men decide to do what's right in their own eyes, a storm is coming. Whenever the imagination of man is evil continuously, and you wake up with bad things on your mind, and you go to bed with bad things on your mind, a storm is coming. And you remember Jonah? God told him to go one way. He went another way. And what happened? A storm came. Sooner or later, you and I are going to have to deal with a storm. Not a shower, not a little fog, nor any light affliction, but a storm. Noah may not be around anymore, but God has left his testimony as a witness how to make it when life begins to storm and rain on you. He is a reminder to us all that, believe it or not, another storm is on the horizon, and it won't be water, but fire. Mixed time. So how was it that Noah made it? Look at what this weatherman did in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 7. It tells us something about Noah, a weatherman for the Lord. First of all, it says in Hebrews 11 and verse 7 that Noah, being warned of God, did what? Come on, I told you, bring your Bible. He did what? He moved with fear. First thing I want you to see from this text is that if we are going to make it in a storm, it's going to heavily depend upon whom we listen to and do business with before the storm begins together. The word warn means to transact business or to manage public affairs. It means to give a response to one who asks or consults with you. Over the last several years, more and more insurance companies have popped up everywhere. Have you noticed them? Man, you go to the mailbox And there is a knight, there is an envelope, there is a card there, and you get those cards, you get them from Geico, you get them from Progressive, you get them from Elephant, you get them from State Farm, you get them from Allstate. You can do business with whoever you want to do business with. All of them promise what they will do as long as the weather is fair. The policy is paid and nothing is happening. But what I have found is that when you need some of them the most, when the children have totaled your car, when the hot water heater has flooded your house, when a storm comes and leave a tree upon your roof, it makes a difference who you have talked to. It makes a difference who you have trusted. It makes a difference who you have done business with, because everybody who said that they will won't, and everybody who said that they do, they don't. And the sad part about it is most of the time you don't know the difference until trouble comes and you need somebody to help you to make it when your most valuable possessions are on the line. Yeah. Noah had to decide who he was going to do business with. He had to decide who he was going to listen to. The world was saying, Noah, it has never rained before. Noah, everything is going to be all right. Noah, just chill and live a life a little. God said it's going to rain. Who are you going to trust? You see, the only thing you have when the storm comes is what you had before the storm appeared. We holler, Lord, have mercy in the storm, but did we have God stored in our phone contacts before the storm appeared? Were you text messaging with God before trouble come? Did you have God's GPS directing your life, God's plan of salvation, and listening to him with all your heart? Noah had a choice before the storm clouds came of who he was going to listen to, who he was going to trust in, who he was going to do business with, who he was going to give all of his heart to. And he decided that he would do business with God. He placed his trust in him. And when the dripping and the dropping started, Noah did not have to Google God's number. Noah did business with God. And he did business in the sunshine and the rain. He was warned of God, and he decided to do business with somebody that was trustworthy to do business with. Amen. Second, the text tells us that not only did he have advice and seek counsel in God, but the text says that he moved. If you're going to do business with God, you're going to have to do some moving. That's right, yeah. You're going to have to move from your old walk. You're going to have to move from your old talk. You're going to have to move from your old lifestyle, because God wants to make a new thing out of you. Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing, by the moving of your mind. Noah moved. God, when God said it was going to rain, he started building an ark. The reason some of us will never make it in life or in glory is because we'll never move until somebody moves us. The reason the church sometimes never progresses and grows is because members won't move. Amen. They won't move across the street and ask their neighbor to come to church with them. They won't move on the pew and let somebody sit down beside them. They won't move their mouth in singing and praise the Lord who gave them everything they have. They won't move their hands in their wallets and purses and bless the Lord with the substance that the Lord gave them in the first place. They won't move, and some get angry and upset, and they say the singing is too loud, the spirit is too high, the preaching is too long. They won't move. But the Bible says that Noah moved, and the only thing that doesn't move is dead. Dead folk. If you want to know if somebody is alive, you look for signs of life. You feel their pulse. You look to see if their eyes have rolled back in their head. You listen to them for breathing. Those are signs of life. And if you're going to move as a church or as a person, you're going to have to learn when God says move, you have enough heart, you have enough strength, you have enough belief and trust in God that you'll take him at his word and you'll move. But while you're moving, make sure you're moving in the right way. The word says that Noah moved with fear. That means he moved cautiously. He moved circumspectively, not as a fool, but redeeming the time because the day was evil. He moved under God's instruction and direction. He built the ark just like God told him. And brothers and sisters, when you move, don't just move, but you move by the word and the will of God. Then when God said, load them up and let's move them out, Noah was ready to sail when others fail. Now, Noah did not just move. The text says he moved with fear. He moved under the direction and guidance of God. He moved by the word of God. He was not moved by what he felt, but by what God, by what God thought. And no other move will be justifiable before God unless we move under his direction. Do not just move from one church to another because you like one so much more than move because you know the Lord's way is right. Noah was warned, and Noah moved on faith. Faith has evidence, and the evidence is in the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then last, I want you to notice that Noah not only was warned, but Noah was prepared. When the storm came, Noah was not looking for his shoes. Amen. Sometimes we're not prepared for anything. We're not prepared to go to school. We're not prepared to go to work. We're not prepared to go to church. We're not prepared to do anything. Young people, let me tell you, if you're going to go out into this world and do anything and be successful, you're going to have to learn to be prepared. Amen. You got to carry some books and some pencils and some computers and some laptop. You've got to learn to be prepared. In fact, you got to learn that your mind and your body and your spirit needs to be prepared, not only academically, but you need to be prepared spiritually. Amen. Need to come to church so that your mind can be stayed on the Lord. Now, need to come to church so that your spirit can be filled with the goodness and the mercy and the word of God, so that you can be rooted and grounded and built up into the person that God wants you to be. And one of the problems and one of the reasons that we fail many times as a people and as a church is because many times we're just not prepared. I saw a sign while riding out on 45 that says, when you die, you'll finally meet God. I want to encourage you, don't wait until then to know that God lives. You better be prepared to meet him before you die. Otherwise, you won't meet him the way you want to meet him. Amen. And so the word says that Noah was ready. He was prepared. And when the storm came, he didn't have to prepare because he had done what God had asked him to do. He was ready. He was ready for God to take him on the venture that God was going to take him on. He was prepared. And you and I have to be prepared and ready to go no matter the day nor the hour, for the Lord cometh even as a thief in the night. This story is to remind us that one last storm called judgment is going to face us all. One day Gabriel is going to blow the trumpet and call time out. One day the earth is going to be dissolved in a fervent heat. One day it is going to all be over. Now, if you and I did not get on board before the storm came, John the Revelator said, "Behold, Jesus, come quickly, and my reward is with me, and to give every man according to his work." So that he says in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 11, "He that is unjust, let him not be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be unfilthy. Let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still." Noah was warned. Noah feared God. Noah moved. Noah prepared. And Noah sailed when others fail. Do you have faith today? Do you believe with all of your heart that God will save you? Do you believe that even though you haven't seen all of God do all the things that God is going to do, do you have enough faith to put your trust and your heart into the Word of God and still believe Him, although the world may be saying something totally different? How many of you have faith? How many of you have trust? How many of you will believe God with all of your heart? Say, "Brother preacher, I have faith." Oh, yes, I do. I have faith. What about you? As I close, I'm reminded this morning of the 1800s, of a guy by the name of Charles Blunden. Charles was one of the greatest circus performers in the world. He was a man that had just great and powerful talent. He was one of those guys that would walk the tightrope, line upon line, step upon step. And he came to Niagara Falls one time, and he decided that he was going to go all the way across the falls on nothing but a wire. And they stretched that wire across the falls, and a great assembly of people came to witness it. And Blunden asked, he says, "How many of you believe that I can walk across this falls on nothing but this wire?" And they raised up their hands and said, "We do, we believe, we believe." And Charles Blunden got on the wire, walked all the way across, and the people hollered and yelled and went crazy because he walked across the falls on nothing but a wire. After a while, Blunden brought out a wheelbarrow. He said, "How many of you believe that I can take this wheelbarrow, I can push it across this falls and get to the other side?" And the people again raised their hands and said, I believe you can do it, Mr. Blunden, I believe." And so Charles Blunden took the wheelbarrow and pushed it across the falls, step by step by step. Yeah. He came back one last time, and Blunden said, "How many of you believe that I can push this wheelbarrow across this falls with a person inside?" And they all raised their hands and said, "I do, I believe, I have faith that you can do it." And he asked one last question. Who will get in the wheelbarrow? And as they were there, only Blunden's son had enough faith. Step out of the audience, step in the wheelbarrow, and let his dad push him to the other side. The Lord asked, "Do you have enough faith to trust me that I'll do the pushing to the other side if you're simply getting in a ride along the way?" How many of you a while ago, when I asked, "Do you have faith?" said you had faith. How many of you will get in the wheelbarrow now and ride to the other side with the Lord. It takes place in all of your heart in the wheelbarrow. Because see, if your heart doesn't get in there first, your body sure won't follow. You've got to have enough faith and trust that even though God, you haven't seen God perform every miracle, you haven't seen God necessarily touch every person and heal their body, or God is able to still heal their soul. And you've got to have enough faith to step out by faith. For faith is the evidence, is the thing of things not seen. You got to believe God enough to trust him to get in the wheelbarrow and know that he is powerful enough in his word and in his way that God can still save you if you'll step out by faith. And I noticed that every one of those people in Hebrews chapter 11, they had to have enough faith to put their heart in the wheelbarrow with God, let God do the pushing, and they say, Lord, wherever you lead, I'll follow. Will you do that today? So some of you here, and you have not become Christians, and God keep tugging at your heart through the Word of God. God keep whispering his word through the Scripture, talking to you. See, God does still speak to us. Oh, yes, he does. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning verse 9. God at sundry times in divers manner, he spoke to us through the prophets. But in these last days, he speaks to us through his son, Jesus. God is still speaking to you right now. What is God saying? God is saying, whosoever will, let him come. Let him get in the wheelbarrow. Let him have enough faith to trust me that even though as wretched as I am, God can still save me. You willing this morning by faith? Do you believe? The Hebrew writer says you must believe that he is, first of all, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently will seek him. Yeah. Do you believe him? Do you believe him enough to say, you know what? I've been going this direction. I'm going to repent of my sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. I'm going to confess his name, Romans 10, 9, 10. I'm going to be buried with him in the watery grave of baptism. And I'm not tall enough to look in that water, but all I see up there is water. But you know what? When I read the scripture, I find out that if we by faith will go down and give God our heart and render obedience to him and go down in the watery grave of baptism, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 6, God will perform an operation on our heart and we'll meet the blood of Jesus Christ and he'll wash us and cleanse us from all of our sins. I said, Brother Andrew, I don't see nothing in the water. I'm not tall enough, but I can't see any either. But you know what? I don't have to be tall enough. I just have to be tall enough to trust God that he'll do what he says he will do. Noah, moved by faith, feared the Lord. And the Bible says, when his most precious things was on the line, his house, his wife, his children, his everything that he had worked for all of his life, and that were his most valuable treasures, along with his relationship with God. The Bible says that when he stepped out by faith and was obedient to God, not only did God save Noah in his obedience to his word, but 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 reminds us that in the like way, baptism does even now save us. Will you be able to sail when God comes again? Because the news is, and the forecast from God still is,
that's right,
it's going to rain.
That's right.
Yes.
Not water, but fire.
Yes, sir.
Next time. Say, Brother Andrews, I've seen it hard, rain hard. I've seen the hurricanes come. And I've seen tornadoes, and I've seen it, but you haven't seen anything like you're going to see when God comes. Will you be ready to sail? You can make your call in any lecture this morning. You can come in obedient faith. to God. Unless you're obedient to God, you never will be saved. Unless you place your heart in the hand of God, God is not going to be able to heal the things in your life that you need healing from. All those people who came to God, they were all broken. The woman at the well, amen. The woman who had an issue of blood, the lepers, they all had problems. But until they were obedient and did God what God, they were going to walk out of there with the same problem. You hear this morning, are you going to be able to sail when others fail? Get in the wheelbarrow. You say you got faith, I'll see you down front in just a second. You say you have faith, then you're going to be willing to put the Lord on, first of all, by faith. In obedience to his will, and put him on in water, grave, or baptism. You hear as a child of God, sometimes our faith gets a little dull. Amen. But God reminds us that if you're going to sail, if you're going to have to give all your heart to him. You're going to have to be able to love him with all your strength, all your soul, and with all of your might. And even then, you're going to come up short. But thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for the mercy of God. Thank God that God will make a way out of no way. Here this morning, you need to respond to him. Come right now as together we stand and together we sing the invitation.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you fully trusting in his grace?